open to the things of you, God. God, thank you for being our Savior. Thank you for doing what you've done. In your precious name, amen. I went downtown last night to Conseco Fieldhouse and saw a great concert, lots of different genres of music, and just that place was filled up, and it was thousands upon thousands of people worshiping God and standing to their feet and lifting their hands and praising God with all that they are. And then there came a time where the congregation sat down. And I sat there, and I'm enjoying the music, and I'm thanking God for who he is, and thanking God for the way he works in our lives, and for giving us song, and all of these people coming together in one place to worship him, all these different denominations and all these different faiths just coming together under one God. And I saw this girl. She looked like maybe she was 9th grade, 10th grade at the most. And she walked down, and she stood in the aisle, and she kept having to dodge people. And her hands went up. And amidst everybody else sitting down, here's this one girl standing in the middle of everyone, arms raised. She knew every word to every song and just praised, uninhibited. And I got to be honest, I got convicted. I sat there and I knew the words, and you know, I'm kind of humming along and I'm singing and I'm clapping and, you know, raising my hand a little bit. And I see this girl, and she's just with everything that's in her giving back to God. And I sat there and I felt rotten. And I thought about it all night long. And we come together on Sundays or Wednesdays or whenever the church is open and whenever the congregation meets, and I think about this a lot. I get so, I guess, complacent in my worship. You know, if you know the words that we're singing today, and we're just gonna start with a little hymn. But if you know these words, you know, we're gonna sing a song of praise, a song of life with God one day. But if you know these words, and God is moving and the Spirit is already moving. I mean, we have people singing all over this place and praising God. Just lift these words up. Close your eyes if you want to. These altars are open. If you want to hit your knees, if you want to pray, if you want to grab somebody else, if you want to just move somewhere in this room, we want you to feel free to worship God in any way. Because we serve a risen Savior. Our God is alive and he's not dead. And if our faith is boring, then shame on us. If you know these, would you sing with us?
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Let's sing that again. Oh, precious.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other bounds I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. And I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever worship. I can only imagine. I can only imagine.
Surrounded by your glory.
Surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah. I can only imagine. Sing that again. Surrounded by your glory. What will my heart see? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in all you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak it all? I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, yeah. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when all I'll do is forever worship you. And I can only imagine.
Would you bow with me? Lord, we praise your name. We thank you. Precious name, amen. You guys can have a seat.
Well, as you know, we have been journeying through the both Old and New Testament. And if you didn't catch it on your way in, there's a table that we're selling one-year Bibles for $10. And if you don't have $10, we just take one. We want you to be reading through it with us. And I don't know about you, if you've decided to take on the extra challenge of reading the Old Testament, guess what? You finished Genesis already. Isn't that awesome? I don't know if some of that might be the first time that's happened. That's fantastic. But as a body, we're reading through the Word together. So all the way through Genesis, we're almost done with Matthew. So you can say after a few days, you've read two whole books of the Bible. And so it's just an exciting journey to be on together as a church. And part of this journey that we're taking as a church, as we're all trying to read together, is we are teaching through the New Testament portion of those readings. And so we started off in Matthew, started at the beginning of this year, this month. And last week, we began a discussion, if you remember, about Jesus' yoke of discipleship. For those of you here last week, just a refresher, we talked about the hard way, right? The way of works righteousness. And we talked about the easy way, which is really the way of escape. But this hard and easy way that Jesus talks about, we talked about yoke and how it was that burden, that wood frame around two animals or that wood stick that lady carried with those two baskets of laundry, right? That's the yoke that Jesus asks us to carry with him. And so we began a discussion about that. And today we're going to continue on that discussion about this discipleship yoke. And we're going to look particularly on the decisions that we make in our lives. And I don't know if you've heard this before, but really life itself is a series of decisions that we make, right? Relationally, occupationally, decision after decision after decision. Some easy and some difficult and some really, really difficult. And we need help in making those decisions. And so things that we enter in life, we can have some relational issues, struggles with our spouse, struggles with our children or our parents or our neighbors, right? We all deal with that to some degree or another. Financial hardship. Sometimes we've made bad financial decisions. And then, of course, just any time we parent or any, just life is full of decisions, especially relational decisions. And I guess you could take one of two paths this morning. One path was popularized by a special show. Many of you heard of it before. Seinfeld, right? Seinfeld was a show about what? About life. Show about life. And a show about nothing, really. That's what some of you said. I heard both. It was about life and it was about nothing. But there's some things that we learned about life. And there's a character that we're probably most familiar with and seemed to always get himself into trouble. And here's what George Costanza vowed to do because he was having such difficulties in his life. Gary, there shouldn't be any music there. Any ideas, Scott? I'm sorry. Why don't you go ahead and stop it? Never heard this song before. Ever. Is it fixed or not? Okay, let's start it again. If you like it better with the music, just tell me later.
Speaking of having it all,
where were you?
I went to the beach.
Oh, the beach.
It's not working, Jerry. It's just not working.
What is it that isn't working?
Why did it all turn out like this for me? I had so much promise. I was personable. I was bright. Oh, maybe not academically speaking, but I was perceptive. I always know when someone's uncomfortable at a party.
Got that over there?
It all became very clear to me sitting out there today that every decision I've ever made in my entire life has been wrong. My life is the complete opposite of everything I want it to be. Every instinct I have in every aspect of life, be it something to wear, something to eat, it's all been wrong. Everyone.
Tuna on toast, coleslaw, cup of coffee.
Yeah. No, wait a minute. I always have tuna on toast. Nothing's ever worked out for me with tuna on toast. I want the complete opposite of tuna on toast. Chicken salad on rye. Untoasted, with a side of potato salad, and a cup of tea.
Well, there's no telling what can happen from this.
You know, chicken salad's not the opposite of tuna. Salmon's the opposite of tuna, because salmon swim against the current, and the tuna swim with it.
Good for the tuna.
George, you know, that woman just looked at you.
So what? What am I supposed to do?
Go talk to her.
Elaine, bald men with no jobs and no money who live with their parents don't approach strange women.
Well, here's your chance to try the opposite. Instead of tuna salad and being intimidated by women, chicken salad and going right up to them.
Yeah, I should do the opposite. I should.
If every instinct you have is wrong, then the opposite would have to be right.
Yes, I will do the opposite. I used to sit here and do nothing and regret it for the rest of the day. So now I will do the opposite and I will do something. Excuse me, I couldn't help but notice that you were looking in my direction.
Oh, yes, I was. You just ordered the same exact lunch as me.
My name is George. I'm unemployed and I live with my parents.
I'm Victoria. Hi.
Can you shut off, Gary? Thank you. So we could do it George's way, right? And if our decisions over the course of months or years have been not working out so well for us, then maybe we could try doing the exact opposite. But I think there might be some more wisdom this morning from what Jesus might have to say about making